Hey, everybody, welcome to J&J on Jazz, powered by Jazzwire.
I want to introduce you all to my friend Jeff, who has a Lou Donaldson coffee mug that I am now officially coveting.
Right, look at that. And this is my buddy James, and he has a little mini Frank Sinatra statue.
I do. I think he's made out of some creepy 1960s chalk, and it's old blue eyes. And I bought him for $5 at a yard sale 10 years ago.
You know, from a distance, I see the similarity. So that's nice between you and him. Your heads are about the same. Your heads are about the same.
Well,
size.
I have a very tiny head, and this thing's head is gigantic. So there's that. Anyway, yeah, baby. Swing, baby. You have platinum. Nope, I'm not. That's bad. Nope.
Okay. That's bad.
Anyway.
All right. Well, what we want to talk to you guys about today is longer lines, playing longer lines. And that's something on Jazzwire that came up just this week. You know, somebody mentioning, you know, I'm playing all these short things. I want to play longer lines, but I'm not sure what notes to play, or I'm not sure how to play longer lines, or where do you find licks that are longer than the licks you already have? You know, questions like this. And when we listen to the greats, they play long lines. Not always, but that's kind of a hallmark of jazz. So I think this is an important thing to talk about. Before we do that, though, I want to let you guys know, James and I are on faculty for Maryland Summer Jazz. This is the 17th year of Maryland Summer Jazz this July. And we're still going to be online this year. When we were planning this thing, we didn't really know what the world was going to look like. And there's still people across the world who can't travel. And so we have people signing up for this virtual workshop, 3-day workshop, from all over the place. So it's fantastic. July 16, 17, 18, then July 23 through 25, two different sessions. And you can check out Maryland Summer Jazz right here. I'd love for you to sign up and join us. Here's the thing. Saramon House, which is an arts organization in Portland, Oregon, they bring together the arts community, not only in Portland, but now, of course, across the world because of how we can interact now. They are sponsoring a scholarship, a full scholarship for Maryland Summer Jazz, which includes 6 months of Jazzwire. That's over $1,000 in tuition, and they're doing a giveaway. So go right here. It's just a matter of entering the drawing, and you'll be entered for that. So a couple ways to join us at Maryland Summer Jazz. I really hope we're going to get to work with you. It's always a blast, James. I'm glad you're doing it again this year.
I can't wait. It's always a blast. I love it. It's such a great event. Yep.
Very absolutely cool. So this idea of playing longer lines, I think it's a great thing to work on. And it was pointed out to me, a teacher pointed this out to me after I had my master's degree from North Texas. Like, man, you should maybe kind of play some longer lines. I like playing sort of shorter pointillistic stuff and cool rhythmic ideas. And it's all good, but I didn't have that important aspect of what a jazz player does, which is play long series of eighth notes. So you know what his, this is Tim Higgins we're talking about now. You know what his brilliant advice to me was, James?
I can't wait to hear it.
Dude, play more eighth notes. And I was, that was it. No, but it was brilliant because what I said is, well, I'm not really quite sure what to play. And he's like, I don't care what you play, play some eighth notes. And I was like, but I don't, what chord? He's like, play some eighth notes. I didn't even understand what he was saying. Literally play some eighth notes. Just do it, right? If Nike were doing jazz videos, that's probably what they would say. So silly as it sounds, pick up your instrument and play eighth notes for 5 minutes. Play me 4,000 eighth notes. Don't worry about what they sound like. Don't worry if they swing. Don't worry if they're good. Don't worry what the chord is. Play a bunch of eighth notes and then put your instrument down and go have some ice cream. Tomorrow, come back. That's strong advice. Tomorrow, come back and do it again. So Dr. Antoniak is telling you to play about 80,000 eighth notes this week and call me later.
I think that's great advice. It really is. And I'll have to give my HMO a call and make sure that I can, that you're still part of my my preferred provider network.
No, they send me money direct from your bank account every week.
We talked about that last week. It is great advice, though. And here's an area where I would say, I said this a couple episodes ago, the chromatic scale can be your friend. If you're not sure like Jeff, if you're in that, if the student's in that place where it's like, I don't know what eight notes to play. Like, what are you talking about? Start with the chromatic scale. Start at the top of your horn and play the chromatic scale down and up, and let that be a one of many ways to guide you through playing those eighth notes that might seem kind of random. And Jeff, there was something else that you were playing in those lines that I want to key in on real fast here. And this is maybe a slightly different take on it, which is you were playing a lot of enclosure figures in that line. And I know you're probably aware of it, maybe not. But that's if you want to get a little bit more into harmony and chords about this, let me give you a quick little tip here. Credit where credit is due. One of the great jazz trumpet players in my region in West Virginia, Adam Loudon, shout out to Adam Loudon, has developed some great teaching methods around this, and this is his stuff, not mine. So, enclosure figures in the middle of your lines and at the beginning of your lines are a way that you can increase the length of those lines. Let's use a bebop dominant scale. And we'll have this stuff written out for you guys to check out. So, here's our regular old B-flat dominant bebop scale. All right, let's put a chromatic enclosure figure, which is a half step above and a half step below the first note of that scale. Let's put it before the scale. So if that scale starts on beat one, this enclosure figure starts on beat four. One, two, Cool. Let's keep the scale going now past the octave. Let's add one more enclosure figure. It won't be chromatic, and we're going to use it in the middle of the scale to enclose the fifth. So what sounded like a simple scale to start with, by adding enclosure figures on the beginning of it, like in front of it, in the middle, and then extending the scale past the octave, we've made it into a longer line. So that may be a little bit more paint by numbers in terms of the approach, but it'll unlock your ears to those longer lines.
That seems like paint by awesomeness to me. Speaking of awesome, I just want to point out, you know, I'm not sure what this shirt means, but it's a cat on a unicorn acting awesome over a rainbow. Like, I'm in. I guess.
I think your graphic t-shirt game is so strong, Jeff. It's so strong. I mean, you know, here I am. Basically, I'm just the face paint away from being a mime. And you're killing it right now. Just killing it.
Oh, well, all I have to say is yes, I am. Yes, I am. All right. Man, well, so that was so cool because you took that scale. When you did the first thing, the enclosure before, you made that lick 25% longer.
Hey!
Then yeah. You extended the scale. The lick was now 50% longer. Like if I can make 50% on my money, you know, like buried in the backyard today, I will do that all day long. Mm-hmm. And then you added the enclosure in the middle. So that scale became, I think at the end of it, twice as long, that lick. Now it had all this bebop intricacy. It had chromaticism, but not BS chromaticism, functional chromaticism. Not just playing chromatic notes because you don't know what to do. Chromatic notes that point somewhere. That's what I mean by functional chromaticism.
Yes.
That's, man, that's an awesome framework. I really like that. And so this Adam guy, can I get his number to do, you know, I just want to, you know, call him to do the next 10 episodes.
You should. He's actually, he was one of my former students and now he's way better than me. So it would stand to reason that he should get this gig too. No.
What we're going to do is the typical jazz thing of steal all of his stuff and like give like very faint credit. And that's how we roll. So what I was thinking about, where do we get these long lines from? Well, same thing. How do you walk a mile? One step at a time is how you walk a mile. Don't worry about walking a mile. Walk 5 feet, walk to the end of the block, walk two blocks, walk to the stop sign. That's how you get there, right? Mm-hmm. Those little bits. So just exactly what you said. One little bit that I love is an enclosure. So enclosures are a great device. Arpeggios are a great device. That's a great device. A scale, bebop scale, whatever it is. That's a good one. neighbor tones, a chromatic mm-hmm. approach, let's call it. Those four things, you start adding those up. I look at all the great double time stuff that Charlie Parker would play.
Mm-hmm. Woo! Whoa! Ooh! Burning!
Don't be impressed. The saxophone comes preloaded with that. Everybody's saxophone can do that.
I'm not impressed by you, Jeff. I'm impressed by Charlie Parker. But well,
okay,
fine.
Thank you for straightening me out there. So what is that Charlie Parker lick? It's a chromatic approach to a minor arpeggio. It's a chromatic approach. It's an arpeggio. It's an enclosure. It's another arpeggio. Another enclosure. It's a bit of a scale down than an arpeggio. It's these building blocks. So it's like, am I thinking about that as I'm playing it? No, I'm not. Am I thinking about how an internal combustion engine works when I start my car? No, I'm not. But knowing the building blocks, right? So so we can build these little licks. So that Charlie Parker one is a great example. Here's another one that I don't know where I got it from. Maybe I just put it together myself. I was working on the song Firm Roots inside Jazzwire. We're working on Firm Roots. Yeah, Cedar Walton tune.
Yeah.
And I had to come up with, and it's fast. I was practicing it at 300, so fast. And I was wanting to come up with some long lines over these long 2/5s. I messed it up the second time. Starts off with an enclosure. Ba-boo-da-boo-dot. And then it's a bebop scale up. The same enclosure at the top of the thing. It's an enclosure. It's a scale. It's the exact same enclosure and up an octave. More scale. A little digital pattern, 5-3-2-1, and then a David Baker lick that he stole from Charlie Parker. So,
and I'm over here trying to figure it. I'm over here trying to figure it out.
It starts on a silent P, goes all the way up to double H, and then from there you just glide. That's all it is.
Perfect.
Yeah. And here's the thing. It works on a 2-chord. It works on a long 2-chord. It works on a long 5-chord. It works on a 2/5. It works on quick 2/5s. It's just this fantastic melodic shape that you can use in so many places. It's one of these long lines, and it comes from these little bits. So what does that mean? How do you learn this? So you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't really know these enclosures. I'm not quite sure what a minor bebop scale is. And you play that Charlie Parker thing fast, you know, two enclosures. I'm not sure how. Well, right. And so that's what we do. So we work on these foundational bits. And when you learn these little when you know two or three foundational bits, you can put three things together in a lot of different ways, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
It sounds like the barrier to entry here is high. It's not. No. In a month or two, we can have you playing these kind of lines. And that's what we do at Jazzwire all day long. And you'll see comments below probably from Jazzwire players who have been doing this stuff. That's exactly how it works. So to me, that idea of demystifying eighth notes by just playing eighth notes and not worrying about enclosures and chromatic approaches. And then I love what you and Adam are talking about, this idea of, you know, using scales and enclosures, and you can just make amazing lines that sound very much like what the pros did, because it is what the pros did. This isn't an approximation of what they did. This is what they did.
Right.
Yep.
Yep.
And I've got a cat on a horse riding over a rainbow who's going to back me up on that all day long.
You've got all the people in your corner that you need for this. I think
all the people.
Yeah.
None of them are people, but fair enough. All right. Well, I think let's leave it there. I want to really encourage you guys to enter the Saramon House giveaway for Maryland Summer Jazz and for 6 months subscription to Jazzwire. Now, if you have the resources, if you have the time, I want you to join us at Jazzwire and sign up at this address anyway. Either way, to get to talk like this, not for listening to a 15-minute video, but to get to do this all day long, to get to do this for 3 days with some of the greatest players and teachers in the country, that's a big deal. I really hope we're going to get to work with you.
I love it. This is great stuff, Jeff. Hopefully we see everybody in Maryland Summer Jazz. See you in Jazzwire. Keep it up, everybody.
You got it. Take care, everybody. Play those long lines.
Old Blue Eyes says, keep swinging. The chairman of the board is in your corner.